Lexi, I notice you don't use these yet. And I hope Jesus comes before you need to. And I think he will. Because we don't have a lot of time left. Welcome to God's house. And Anthony, watching you this morning, I've got to thinking about when I was your size and age. I had trouble keeping my shoestrings tied. And you know, my mother had an awful time, but she finally taught me how to double knot them so they don't come loose. So there's hope. There's hope. And you remember that we learned when we watched the series on the Pale Horse Rides that St. Patrick was a Sabbath keeper. Isn't that amazing? How this all came about and how he came to be considered a saint is beyond my understanding. But anyway, I thought that was an interesting thing to know. So we have a picture on the screen this morning. Now, Ramona and Mitsu have met Reginald Sabande. I have a hard time with names. He was with us on Super Tuesday. Reginald is from South Africa. His home is probably 100 miles north by northeast out of Johannesburg. He lives at about 5,200 feet of elevation, which is very comparable to where we live, elevation. But it never snows there. I think I should move. Said the coldest it ever gets, we figured it out, was 47 degrees. Anyway, he and his wife and their two children live there in this community. And his wife teaches at a primary school. Primary school is kindergarten through seventh grade. She teaches first grade. There's 600 students in this primary school operated by the Seventh-day Adventist Church. 600. And they have tuition. You familiar with that word? It's a little different there. $60 U.S. a month. But it's as much of a problem for them to come up with $60 a month as it is for us to come up with $300 or $400 a month. So it doesn't matter where we are. It requires dedication, perseverance, and sacrifice to attend the schools that God has developed for our children. And right here with us, Brent and Wanda, they spent their whole careers teaching in different places around the world. And they still have family that they've adopted from those different schools. It's a wonderful thing. Now, let's talk about Reginald for a moment. I got a call on Tuesday from the conference office wanting to know if I would take him with me visiting. And I said, well, certainly. Now, Reginald's 38 years old. He has a 6-year-old daughter and a 12-year-old daughter. So you can relate. Almost, not quite as old as you, Lexi. And Liliana is 6, so they're the same age. Cool. Reginald is a church planter. The community that he lives in, where his wife teaches, they have a church. And that church membership is 2,000. But that's not where he goes to church. He pastors six churches, the closest of which to his home is 100 miles. 100 miles to the nearest of his churches. And his idea of church planting is he goes to a community where there's no church and he stands out on the street corner and he starts to talk about Jesus. And he gets a crowd and he's there every day for a while, and then they pick a home and then they start and they grow. And he's been doing this now since he was 18 or 19 years old. Now I'm going to give you a number. Nobody's kept track for sure, but as close as they can figure, he's responsible for 20,000 conversions to the gospel of Jesus Christ. 20,000. And Ramona Mitsu, he's a very quiet guy, isn't he? Doesn't have much to say. It's just amazing. He's here visiting one of his friends from Andrews when he went to the theology master's program there. You know, we think about these things. We know how much these things cost, and we think, how is it possible? Well, I want you to understand something. When God is asking you to do something for him, he provides the necessary tools. Amen. Now, we often spend a lot of time talking about the Pauls of our day. He's a Paul, all right? But we don't talk much about the churches that are there that he's tending to and the new ones that he's developing. And I think, may I borrow your bulletin? May I borrow your bulletin? Thank you. I'll give it back. But in the notes here, it's a piece about the three that were in the fiery furnace, and Jesus came and stood with them. Okay? And it talks here about how Christ identifies with the quiet and the unassuming and those who allow him to work in their lives. Okay, we call that today taking his yoke upon us. I hope you read the notes, because I'm going to just read a piece of it. By the deliverance of his faithful servants, talking about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the Lord declares that he will take his stand with the oppressed and overthrow all earthly powers that would trample upon the authority of the God of heaven. How many of the earthly powers? All of them. What a lesson is here given to the faint-hearted, the vacillating, the cowardly in the cause of God. What encouragement to those who will not be turned aside from duty by threats or peril. These faithful, steadfast characters exemplify sanctification, while they have no thought of claiming honor. The amount of good which may be accomplished by comparatively obscure, okay, people that you don't look at as leadership or upfront people, may be accomplished by comparatively obscure but devoted Christians, cannot be estimated until the life record shall be made known, when the judgment shall sit and the books be opened. Christ identifies his interest with this class. Okay? He is not ashamed to call them brethren. It's just amazing to me the encouragement that we have everywhere we choose to read. So this morning, I want to say thank you to Reginald. If you recognize that, that's inside our church. We came here for a visit. He wanted to see where we worshiped. And we did travel a bit. We caught up with Stephanie and David at a little restaurant over here called Moose Hill. That was a divine appointment. Okay. And while we were there, the little lady that waited on us, I have her name and phone number. We would never have met her otherwise. Her name is Marin Torres. She's a member of the Pecos Street Spanish Church. And she sings. So we're going to be inviting her here. She says, I only sing in Spanish. And I says, that's great. We like music spoken in Spanish. Everywhere we go, we're led to meet someone. You know these books that we have? I have now two sets in the trunk. We tried to deliver one set to a home on Josephine Street, about two blocks north of I-70, downtown, in that area, you know. And when we went by the first time, there wasn't anybody there. So after Super Tuesday Bible study, which he joined us, and after the Moose Hill, I got to thinking. We arrived there about 9:40 at night. And I'm thinking, Lord, do you really want me to go knock on the door at this time of the night? Do you really? So we drove around the block a couple of times. He's looking out the car window and he says, there's nobody there, it's dark. So we went around again. I said, no, there's a light on. So we went around again and parked. Knock, 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 knock. Daniel Salazar. His mother is Becky Salazar. It was right over here on 4th Street. She doesn't come to church, but she's a member here. She's a member here. So God brought us to one of her son's front door at 10:40 at night. And he was so happy to have the books. He just chatted, chatted, chatted. I have to put in a commercial. Don't be offended. We have 120 names of people that have received these books so far. And every time we deliver them, we ask if we can come back and visit with them. And the answer is always yes. We have people to go back and visit. And it's just really exciting. But it's never convenient. It would have been a lot easier to stay on Highway 76 and gone right on back south rather than find my way around through the labyrinth of streets to such and such a number on Josephine Street. But what was the right thing to do? Go to Josephine Street. Why? Because I want to accept Christ's yoke. Okay? We read about it this morning. So we're going to start there. Let's bow our hearts. Papa, it's time for you to bring the message of your love into our hearts with understanding, so that we will become willing to yet let you place your yoke on us. Thank you for speaking to each heart what you want them to hear, no matter what I say. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're in Matthew chapter 11. Verse 28, that's where we're going to start. Matthew 11, chapter 28. Come unto me. Who's speaking here? He's making an invitation. Come unto me. So that means that there has to be a change in our direction because we're not headed toward him. or he wouldn't be asking us to come to him if we were already going that way. So that means right here in the first few words of this verse, he's inviting us to experience and accept a change in our purpose and our direction. Come unto me. Then, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. We're not headed toward him. We've got our own pathway, and we're having a tough time. Does that sound familiar to any of you? Have you experienced that kind of things in your life? Things are difficult, and they just seem to get worse and worse, and the harder you try, the worse they get. Sound familiar? Certainly did for me. I didn't want to go his direction at all. That business of yoke didn't sound like fun. Don't want anything on the back of my neck. But then comes the next piece. We're struggling, headed in our own direction, not headed for him at all. He says, if you're having a tough time, come to me and I will give you rest. But really, a yoke is about work. I don't want any more work. I got more than I can handle now. But he's talking about rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. That means there's an education process. You don't arrive and all of a sudden know everything. It's a process. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. And then, this part, I never liked it. I am meek and lowly in heart. I mean, we're supposed to be robust and vigorous and out there, pushing the envelope. But that's not how Jesus does things. I know we read this text once in prison not too long ago. Well, maybe a couple years. And one of the inmates pipes up and says, so, a yoke has place for two. Who's in the other half? Maybe I don't want to be yoked up with that person. So we talked about it. Who is in the other half? Yeah. He's inviting us to hook ourselves up with him. All right? And when we hook ourselves up with him, all of a sudden it says, we're going to have rest. Now we know that there's another yoke. Okay, there's always two, huh? Always two. And we can read about that other yoke in Galatians 5:1. Galatians 5, verse 1. Don't feel bad if you have a hard time finding, I get confused too. Paul's talking here. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. So Jesus is inviting us to come to him. So it sounds to me like he's going to remove the yoke that I've put on myself and put his on. And he describes it as a yoke of bondage. I'm in bondage to my own desires and my own drive and my own failure to succeed and my own problems and my own God, who is myself. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Instead, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. And I'm thinking about my friend Reginald. Very, very meek and mild and humble. But look what has happened in his life as he's allowed Jesus to hook him up. Now, we're not all going to go out there and start churches and have 20,000 people that we can look back at and say, yeah, yeah, they're the result of what Jesus has done. But we can all look back in our lives and see the times when he used us to do something special, that he gave us the tools to do. Whether it's just showing up every week to church and being smiley and friendly, whether it's not fighting for a spot in the line at the post office. You know, you see some amazing things when people have to wait for service. They can get really crabby and unpleasant. And Philip, I'm going to pick on you. Pulling wire for the ranges. That is truly accepting Christ's yoke. And, Roxy, cleaning underneath the burners on the stove in the kitchen. We'll have to find something else for you to do next time. And there's always a next time. And there's always something to do. And most of the time, it is always inconvenient. Sabbath morning is a lot easier to roll over and go back to sleep than it is to get up and come to church. I know. You think that I'm the pastor and I have no problem with that? I'm going to tell you, I struggle with that every week. So don't think you're alone. But the point is, who wins? The yoke that Christ puts on your neck? Or you step back for a while and try your old one on and see how it fits. Get a few splinters in your neck and then come back. You can skip the splinters. That's not part of his plan for you. Have to get out the electronic Bible. By the way, Reginald is a little bitty guy. You can see in the picture that we had up there, he's shorter than I am. And he was reaching up because he wanted to be able to get both of our faces in the same picture. I would imagine, if I were to guess, that he probably weighs about 130, 140 pounds. It's not the size of the package that matters. It's who you're yoked up with. And Karen, thanks for getting that picture up there. It's amazing what Karen and Martin can do. I really, really appreciate it, but I have no idea how it works. Bear with me here. By the way, last Sabbath, it was my privilege and joy. I was in the morning speaking to the family at Sterling, in the afternoon speaking to the family in Akron. And it's exciting to see what God is doing in those communities. We were there promoting prison ministry. Like I told them, at any given time in the Rocky Mountain Conference, which comprises Wyoming, Colorado, and a county or two in northern New Mexico, at any given time, there are somewhere between 30 and 35,000, got that? 30 or 35,000 individuals that are incarcerated. And here's another statistic. I'm getting off track a little, but it's important. The citizens of the United States comprise 5% of the world's population, but 25% of the incarcerated. We have a problem in this country. So here we are again in Matthew 11. And I'm going to be reading this to you from another version, starting with verse 28. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. In other words, when you accept Christ's yoke, you don't have to worry about splinters. You don't have to worry about blisters. He knows just exactly what fits. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. No worries. Just do the next best thing. And again, the Bible talks about it over and over. There's two choices. There's two things. There's the yoke of bondage, and there's the yoke that Jesus has. One or the other. We're born with the yoke of bondage, so we're used to that one. And we're scared to get a new one because we don't want any additional blisters. But here we're having his encouragement that we're not going to get blisters or splinters from his yoke. Now, if I can find these other things. Here we go. Christians should carry with them, this from my favorite female author, Christians should carry with them wherever they go the sweet fragrance of Christ's righteousness, showing that they are complying with the invitation, learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. Are you learning daily in the school of Christ? Learning how to dismiss doubt and evil surmisings? Learning how to be fair and noble in dealings with your brethren? These are part of the results of wearing Christ's yoke. Another one here. Jesus invites. You know, he doesn't force anyone. It's an invitation. That means you can turn it down. Jesus invites, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest to your souls. Have you found this rest? If not, there is something for you to do. Do not rely on an experience that you had years in the past. It is your privilege to have a living connection with Christ now. Come to him with brokenness of heart and contrition of spirit, praying for his grace. The melting power of God can do wonders in subduing the heart and making it tender and impressible. You may come with full assurance of faith, and he will fill your heart with rest and peace and love. So as we look at Scripture, and we're going to take a brief journey, I invite you to go with me to Deuteronomy 30:19. Deuteronomy 30:19. I believe this is Moses speaking. Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both you and thy seed may live. Choose life. Moving onward, that was Moses. Joshua 24. Joshua 24. Verse 15. And I know you all know this verse. Start with the 14th verse, Joshua 24. Now, therefore, Fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity. In other words, accept his yoke. And in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And don't think that we don't have gods. We have an abundance of gods. If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served, which were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I think about the generations of those who have been blessed or cursed with an abundance of money. I'm thinking about the elder Vanderbilt, who developed a fortune in the railroading business back in the 1800s. On his deathbed, he had $200 million. He said that's back in the 1800s, okay? $200 million. He said the care of $200 million is enough to kill anyone. And his family continues to pursue those goals. Now, there's nothing wrong with money. It's wonderful. I never have enough. I don't know about you. It's nice to have money. But when you make that the purpose of your life, you've got a yoke on your neck that binds you in bondage. You're not experiencing the freedom that Christ gives with his yoke. And this is one of my favorites, 1 Kings 18:21. I love this story. Now we're going to be talking about Elijah, all right? 1 Kings 18. And most of you are familiar with the story. There'd been a drought in the land of Israel for 3 years. There hadn't been any rain. Autumn. I'm sorry you're having a bad time, girlie. We love you. So here, Elijah has invited everyone to Mount Carmel from all over the land of Israel. And I never realized how many prophets there were. There were 450 prophets of Baal plus 400 prophets that of the groves that sat at Jezebel's table. 850 prophets showed up to Mount Carmel, not to mention all the people. And here's Elijah all by himself. Now you can imagine the people thinking, this is the guy that's caused it not to rain. We're going to see him get pounded into the ground today. After all, 850-1, what chance did Elijah have? Whose yoke was he wearing? The yoke of Jesus. And we know what happened. I mean, those 850, they tried to get fire underneath their offering all day long. And when nighttime came, Elijah had found some water somewhere and they drenched his good and God lit it a fire. But anyway, the point is, the people came for a showdown. The results were not what they expected. And here's what Elijah had to say to them in verse 21. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? In other words, how long are you going to sit on the fence? How long are you going to sit on the fence? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And what was the response? They didn't say a thing. They were there for the show. They were just waiting. They were still sitting on the fence. So today, our choice is simple. Back to Matthew 11, verse 28. come unto me. Come. You'll find rest to your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So this morning I invite you in your hearts as we pray to accept the invitation that Jesus has offered to come. Papa, we're gathered together in your house, surrounded by your angels. I know your Holy Spirit's talking to our hearts because he's talking to mine. I want your yoke. I want no longer to be entangled with the yoke of bondage that I've created for myself. So thank you for this gracious invitation. Thank you for the opportunity to allow you to yoke yourself up with me and carry my load, because I can't. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, everyone. So for our closing hymn, it will be hymn 290. So if you'll turn there with me. 290.
Let's stand as we sing together.
So are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior, and I know I'll find it in you. Turn your eyes.
Papa, thank you for the invitation to take your yoke, to let you carry our load. May we experience the things of this world growing strangely dim in the light of your glory and grace. In Jesus' name, amen.
And as usual, we're having a fellowship meal, so stick around.